episode 21.
It's time to breathe new life into the social entrepreneur by empowering you to make a living through fulfilling work that will impact lives. You'll make money, but more importantly, you'll make a difference. Welcome to the Change Creator Podcast. It's time to build a business with purpose. Now here's your host, Adam Force.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Change Creator Podcast Show. This is your host, Adam Force. This week I'm real excited to chat with Philip Valisa. He is a product guru, and what I mean by that is he runs a website called The Product Startup. And he's done a lot of work in designing from scratch, like coming up with ideas, designing, testing, and prototyping, and bringing actual products to market. And he's worked in a range of industries like oil, gas, subsea, emergency vehicle. And when you go to his website, you're going to see he has every step outlined for you. So anything from getting the idea, building a prototype, getting it patented, designing it, funding it, making it, you go through every step of the way, and he helps you bring your product to market. So lots of valuable information, and he has lots of insights to share. So we're going to dive in and see what we can learn from Philip. Don't forget to stop by and leave us a review and a rating at the stores, iTunes, Stitcher, or SoundCloud. Really appreciate it. They're super helpful. Without further ado, let's get started. Hey, Philip, welcome to the Change Creator Podcast Show, man. Really appreciate it. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Adam. Thanks for having me on.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I love your website and everything that you guys are doing. So I'm looking forward to chatting with you and figuring out how you got there and why you're doing it and what you learned along the way. So if you could give just a little background, take us back to before you started Product Startup, what were you doing?
Yeah. So before I started, I was working in corporate and basically working for large companies that were taking their own ideas to market. They were creating their own products and they needed engineering help. And I was one of the engineers and then later engineering managers that helped with that.
Very cool. And so into engineering?
Well, you know, when I was a kid, I always liked taking things apart. And when we were coming to the country, when we came to the U.S. and we were waiting for our papers to come here, I pulled a toy out of a dumpster, and it was one of these pull behind dump trucks that had these oversized bolts, and it was missing an axle, and I kind of scrounged around and I found a larger metal axle, and I just, that was kind of a bolt for something different, and I shoved it in there and it kind of worked, and it basically turned on this light bulb for me, and it helped me see that I had all this control over the world around me in a way. Or, you know, it really just kicked off the spark to me that said, you know, I have the ability to make a huge impact. And that kind of carried through, you know, when we got to the States, and I watched my mom work two jobs. And so I was really hands-on with things around the house because we didn't have a whole lot of money. So I got into DIY type stuff. And then the two kind of merged after I graduated college with an engineering degree. And, you know, continue doing the DIY, continue doing engineering, and then people were asking me, you know, hey, how do I get on Shark Tank? How do I take my products to market? And to me, it was really natural just because I'd been kind of doing it for a big part of my life. And but then I realized that, you know, maybe other people needed some help with that. And I thought, hey, this is a perfect way to kind of give back.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So I guess, is that so that would you call that your kind of like your aha moment of the new direction? Like what was your career move at the time? Were you actually working as an engineer, and what got you to the point where you shifted over to become an entrepreneur?
Yeah. So in my 20s, I was always interested in that. And I, even when I was in college, I took classes in business and I was interested in entrepreneurship. And when I was working and was single, I was doing things like business plan competitions and things like that. But it never, none of that really ever created anything for me. You know, I never had, at the time I thought, you know, I never have this perfect idea, this baby. You know, everybody else seemed to have this direction and I didn't really have that for me. And so I kind of sat on, you know, just not doing anything because I felt like I didn't have, quote, that one idea to run with. And so when I was, you know, I got married, and my wife had a baby, and I was sitting in the hospital the same day that my daughter was born. And I realized, you know what, if I don't get off my rear end and do something, she's going to be in college. I'm gonna wake up tomorrow and she'll be in college, and I'll be one of those bitter old men that said, you know, I wish I would have done X. Yeah. And I never did. And it really kicked me in the gut. I mean, it was one of those things that was like, oh my God, I'm in my mid 30s and I have talked about doing something for, you know, way too long.
I totally know the feeling. It's like the mid 30s crisis almost for this generation, where, you know, you're kind of like, what am I going to be doing in 10 years? And I haven't, you know, stepped up to the plate to really try and explore some of my passions and make a living doing those things. So you get that almost guilt trip in a sense, and you're like, oh man, I got to make a move.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's a big motivator, which, you know, I see more and more of that happening, especially with the internet and, you know, the transparency, and just, you can see the communications among people. It's just, it's becoming a bigger and bigger initiative, entrepreneurship. So it's interesting to see what's going on. And everyone, I always say everybody's a teacher and everybody is a student. So we all have different skills and things that we know on a very niche level that we can share with each other and teach each other.
No, absolutely agree with that. You know, I'm constantly learning, and at the same time, I'm teaching the things that I'm really good at, and that actually helps me get a lot better.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I agree. So I guess take me through a little bit of your process once you made the decision. Okay, I'm going to start this. I'm going to do something. This is what you're thinking right now. You obviously didn't just start off with your current company. How did you get to the conclusion of what the name should be, what you want it to do, some type of media platform, podcasting? Like, how did you get yourself there and start, you know, narrowing it down to what it will become?
Yeah, and so in the beginning, I didn't really have an idea of any of that, and I didn't know what the market wanted. I just knew that I wanted to put some content out there. So I was the thing that came naturally to me, or the, I should say, the idea that I first had was to write some blog posts. And so I created content for probably 6 months on the site without really publishing anything. I just stored it all to get it ready for a launch. And then at the beginning of this year in January, I launched the site, and it was just text content and some graphics that I'd made and things like that, that I thought explained the product development process better than what I'd seen before.
And as you're talking about a product development process, being an engineer, you're only speaking about physical product development or digital product development as well?
Yeah, so my background is in physical products, and I speak to that. I mean, you could certainly use it for any type of product or service, and it's a formula that's probably familiar with other people that have taken things to market, whether they're, you know, services or digital products. But again, I'm resting on my background in physical items. And so that's basically what I'm writing about.
Now, I guess you could say engineering has been your passion. So, you know, a lot of people, they may go to school for finance, become a financial consultant, you know, a few years later, they're like, well, this sucks. And, you know, I can't see myself doing this till I'm 65 years old. So they pick up a completely different, you know, category based on something they're really passionate about. Which can, I feel like, can be a longer, more difficult road, not impossible, but it's just more difficult. So you're leveraging your actual current skill sets that you adopted through the earlier years. Now, do you find that makes it much easier for you?
Yes or no. You know, I'm very, I've got 12 years of experience behind me, and it's hard to kind of roll that into a blog post. And to advise people to say, hey, you know what, you don't need a degree to do what I do. And that's kind of not the direction that I'm going with it. I'm kind of saying, hey, as if you had the opportunity to build a house, you could build it from scratch by reading a lot of books by Bob Vila or whoever, or you could outsource aspects of it to general, you know, contractors or to individual contractors that you hire, and you get to decide that. And so that's why, I mean, it's called DIY product development, but it's kind of, you know, you're the master of your direction of this process. And so you get to decide how you run it, but I'm giving you the tools and the advice and, you know, conversations with other entrepreneurs and small business owners that have done it to help you make that decision.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I guess as you approach this stuff, I'm interested to know, for people out there who are listening, I mean, there's people who are doing a lot of digital entrepreneurship right now, obviously. I mean, similar to what you're doing, right? You're leveraging a digital platform to get your information. You're sharing ideas that you have learned with people. But for people that have real physical products, what are some of the initial thought processes and considerations they should have when they approach an attempt as an entrepreneur? You know, like, there's obviously going to be a lot of pitfalls in the physical product world, I can imagine. So what are some things they might need to be aware of?
Yeah, so, and I don't want to rehash some things that you've already covered previously, and so stop me if I get into this same kind of process. But, you know, the process starts about the same as if you're starting a service or a digital product. You have, you know, you've got an idea and then you want to validate the market. And that gives you kind of a go, no go, whether, you know, is this something that will support me? And it's not just, is the market large enough to sustain the business that I'm trying to create, but it's also, you know, are there any barriers to entry? And especially with physical products, you have things like regulatory or certifications or other, you know, hurdles that you might have to jump through. And so that second step of validating the market is just a quick, you know, 5, 10, 15 minute research project to kind of sort through your ideas and rank them by viability.
And how, I guess, how do you go about personally, you know, validating the market? What tools do you use? What kind of, where do you research?
Yeah, so with validating the market, it's just really a Google search. It's, and then you can go into stores and look at products in the same space as you, and you can see if they've been certified by a certain regulatory authority or if they've got stamps that say does not include this type of material or made without this process. That type of thing. And you can start to get the keywords down of what you're trying to avoid or trying to get certification in. And then that will help you drive some of your searches. It's you really need to know a little bit about that market before you proceed forward, before you start doing anything about how it's going to look or function or filing a patent or getting funding or anything like that.
Right, right. And, you know, some of the interesting things I've come across too to add on to that is just, if you have a certain category, I guess you're building a product that's niche and solving a specific problem, whatever category it might fall under, you can look at, you know, are there magazines about this? Are there books Yep. about this? And you start getting a feel for, you know, is anyone actually reading and talking about this or not?
No, that's an excellent point. So, you know, after you validate the market, so I've actually separated the market from the consumer because in my eyes, the market is the, like this broad question, and the consumer is, are, you know, you're having these one-on-one conversations with people. So after you've validated the market and you've created some sort of a prototype that just shows the concept, and it could be as simple as a sketch, but it needs to be something physical or something that people can see and touch and interact with, because that's how you'll get the most feedback. Mm-hmm. And so then you go into your next stage where you're looking to validate what the consumer thinks. And that's exactly what you said, is you're going and looking at the magazines. I've definitely done that. I've like literally taken a picture of the magazine stand and looked at it. And what's the nice thing about that is that if you do it in multiple areas of town, because you've got some local demographics and for each neighborhood, if you do it across the city, you'll be able to kind of see if there's a trend over time. If you do it like 6 months or a year later, which magazines are still left on there. Now that takes a long time to do, but it's something that you can do anyway while you're grocery shopping, and then go back through the data later when you're ready to you know, pursue the idea further.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I guess I'm curious, as you're approaching those types of things, what are some of the challenges you might have personally had in your startup experience, or that you've learned when it comes to you know, building a product itself? I guess one of the daunting things, like I even dabbled in this idea of like a hemp water bottle, and some of the challenges for me was like, wow, you know, like you have to start thinking about manufacturing and costs and raising that money. Like when you have that physical product, there's a lot more complexity to it, I almost feel like.
Yeah, and so I guess the answer to one of those is, because I'm an engineer and I'm very like process oriented and very systematic, the site is really based upon following like these steps in a certain order. And the reason they're in that order is because I found working for some small businesses and even large corporations that they kind of take the same steps to market, whether, you know, they call different tools by different names or they have different processes. They follow the same path in a way. And the reason that they do that is because it de-risks it for them. Because even some of the people that here that work for large companies can say that, you know, it's really hard to get a budget from a big company and to get money for your pet project. And so even though people, there's this misconception that says, oh, it's a bigger company, so they have more money to spend on blank. No, they probably just have a ton more projects going on simultaneously that there's some internal fighting about what to allocate resources to, right?
Okay, I gotcha.
So to answer your question, it's basically there's a systematic process that you go through to kind of help alleviate some of those pains early on. And if you can follow the process, then it'll help you like not make that many mistakes.
Right. Can you tell me a little bit about that process?
Yeah. And so we've kind of been following it already, right? Okay. We talked about validating consumer needs as being the next function. You know, you mentioned, are there things that I did myself or that I learned through my business. And I would say that step right there, validating consumer needs, is super important. And most, even the clients that we've had when I worked and as an engineer in my capacity, they thought that they understood their problem, but they maybe didn't dig deep enough, or we only listened to maybe the surface problem and didn't get down to the core issue. And that can give you false data to run with. You know, you have to kind of ask the five whys, keep digging down to asking why until your target market kind of stops. They've given all they can.
Yeah, it's essential for sure. You know, I guess when I consider that kind of question, I'm thinking too, you know, about just some more of the process. But like when you are building something, do you recommend, I guess, if I'm going through certain steps, I agree 100%. Like you have to understand your audience, no matter what you're doing, digital or physical product. Maybe you're a fan of also the lean startup and doing things very, minimally at first. Do you recommend working with organizations like Alibaba and stuff like that for manufacturing, or what would you say about that?
Yeah, so as you go through the process, Alibaba has a place further down. So you're going to create some prototypes and then validate the design and things like that. And then you'll kind of go out there and look at manufacturers. And that's when you would look at places like Alibaba. I think it's a bit premature to start that process in the beginning because Alibaba is a catalog of products that have already been designed. And by going to that in the very beginning, you're basically asking yourself a leading question. You're saying, hey, this product is right for me, right? Or this product fits the needs, correct? And you're right. And you're right. Instead of asking an open-ended question to say, hey, does this product that I'm thinking of solve this super painful point that my customers are having issues with, you're already prescribing a solution. And so there's definitely a place for Alibaba, but it's not anywhere near the beginning, in my opinion.
Right, right. Look, they can also, they have predetermined products, but you can have them custom design something to your spec, or if you have, you can take that approach, right? Like if you have a certain, if you engineered something, let's just say, or you have an idea for a product, don't some of these manufacturers work with you to do a custom design?
They can. And so, you know, what I would say, so after you validate what your consumer wants, then you kind of dive down into the design of it, right? And so you alluded to, maybe having some engineering help, which is fine. You know, you could definitely do that, or you can ask someone at your local college, or there's freelancers, all sorts of ways of getting a design done if you don't feel comfortable enough. But the bottom line is you want to create some sort of a document or a file that says, here are the specifications, here's the materials, here's what the look and feel needs to be, the textures, colors, that type of thing, to show how it works. And most manufacturers communicate using drawings and 3D models.
So I guess can you tell us a little bit more? So, all right, so you have this experience, you've built this website to share the knowledge that you have around, you know, building these products and engineering. What is your intention when you started the site? I mean, I know you want to share this type of information and do that, but what is really your mission and what do you hope to see come out of it?
Well, yeah, so the intent was to, you know, at some point be able to quit my job and do something that I'm more connected with. You know, as I worked my way up through corporate, it was kind of something similar to what you said about that, that person that majored in finance and wanted to do something different that was in line with their interests. You know, even though engineering is a huge part of me, as you move up in the ranks, you start doing less and less engineering, and it's more management and some things. I mean, on the one way, it was nice because I saw business development, I interacted more with finance, and I got to manage an R&D budget and all sorts of things that were upper level, yeah. managing teams. At the same time, it was more frustrating because it wasn't hands-on, and you didn't see. You know, again, I'm driven by change. I'm driven by creating and building and seeing something from nothing and, yeah. you know, having this huge impact. And it's hard to do that when you're submitting a TPS report, you know?
It remind me of that show Workaholics when you said that for some reason.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so the intent is to just facilitate change, right? And initially, this was going to be a site that, you know, one day I might turn into a side job and maybe a full-time job. And since, you know, I've even had to pivot my audience for that, where in the beginning I thought this was, hey, this is perfect for people that want to do their own thing and they just haven't gotten started. And it is really good for that. But at the end of the day, those people are probably the least likely to buy anything because they've been conditioned. A lot of the inventors have been conditioned to not trust invention kits online and things like that. And so there's just a lot of friction and resistance there. Not to mention that most of the people that read these articles don't really have a whole lot of money. They're looking for investors. And I don't want to be in a position where I'm going to force somebody to pay money that they don't have for, you know, one of my products.
Yeah.
And so what I'm trying to do is basically pivot the site more towards the audience that I'm already have on the show, on the podcast, which is small business owners.
Okay. And so I'm not an engineer. I don't know how to draw. I have an idea for a product. I guess, how do I start bringing that to life? But we talked about vetting the market, you know, testing if it's, you know, viable and all those types of things, understanding the audience. But once they need to physically manifest it, where does someone start who doesn't, you know, I can't create the beta and I can't draw the design. So do I have to hire someone, an engineer to talk with and have like a consultation and have them come up with a schematic and then we share that with a manufacturer? What kind of steps have to be taken for someone that has that physical product idea?
Yeah, and so I would challenge you to get rid of that mindset to say that you don't have the skill set. Now, I do agree that a lot of people don't, but when it comes to creating a prototype and showing other people, you know, how it should maybe function, I think we all should be involved to some level. You know, I think in order to be able to describe how this thing works, you should be able to put something physical together. My favorite way of doing this is going to a dollar store and just slapping some components together from different products, mm-hmm. and making kind of like a Frankenstein type functional prototype. And it might not look exactly how you want, and it might not have all the functions, but it will be something that you could set on a table that when you do hire the engineer or the designer, they could definitely see where you're coming from. You know, it'd be a little bit more than a sketch.
Right. Yeah, you know, that makes sense. I recall, I can't remember this kid's name. He was like 17 or 18 years old, and he built this. He wanted to do a robotic arm to help people who, you know, lost a limb, right? And mm-hmm. because they were so expensive, he wanted to do something for under $1,000. They were costing like 60 grand or something like that. And so he made this prosthetic, but it was made from all these crazy junk pieces, you know, batteries, wires, really big, clunky. Long story short, he ended up making this really iterated, to your point. You start there, and then he got help, then it got iterated over time, and it became a very refined prosthetic. and it was actually controlled by the by someone's thoughts, which was really interesting. But the point being, you know, it started off with his just random concoction of, you know, junk pieces.
Well, exactly. And so I'll hit on 2 points you said. Number one, you have to start. If you do not start, you will, it's guaranteed that your product will not launch, right? And so in my opinion, it's the 80-20 rule where you go out there and you make it however you can. You know, you get the clay that you mold with your hands, you get the art supplies that people have YouTube videos out there to show you how to use. There's, you know, mechanics kits that you can buy that are for kids on Amazon that are awesome because they've got little bolts and screws and things like that. You know, there's electronics kits that are the same way to help you learn how to program little robots. And, you know, if they sell to 8 to 12 year old and kids, there's, you know, a high likelihood that you and I will be able to use something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I completely agree. And to your earlier point, you know, you don't want to have the mindset that, you know, I can't draw and I can't, you know, create a prototype and things like that. I mean, I think everybody can overcome these hurdles. It is getting out of your comfort zone a little bit. And once you just start getting in motion, you'll start being able to turn and pivot and try different things. You just need to be willing to have some persistence. You know, I think if you're motivated enough, you're going to say, all right, well, I got to do something. So you just start trying something, you know. So I think that's the key, just to your point, is just start trying something.
Well, right. And the second part of that is to just bounce off of what you said, which was to iterate, right? The whole goal of this is to iterate. And the process that I've got outlined, you're basically building, you're designing, building, and then selling in these tiny little steps. And not selling necessarily like you're selling a product, but selling in terms of validating or testing the market or testing the consumer or testing the design. You're constantly getting that feedback and refining.
Yeah.
And the fastest way of doing this is if you're going to do this yourself. I mean, of course, there's the other way around where you're just throwing buckets of money at it and people are just running to your orders. But I think you could spend a ton of money really quickly that way if you don't have the proper direction. And that's why I'm such a huge proponent of just kind of doing as much as you can in the beginning yourself. That way you make the quote, the biggest missteps or the misdirection yourself.
Yeah.
And then you hire somebody to do the design and do the drawings and do all the other stuff. When you're 80% of the way there, and now you just need help on choosing from one type of plastic to another or one type of steel or whatever that may be.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Whether it's digital or physical product, I can only imagine more so on physical, but it's really helpful to take the time, and I know it can be painful for some people, but to learn certain skill sets and explore those things, because you can save not only money, but you can save a lot of time. Like, for example, you know, just personally, I've learned website development. If I was constantly waiting for someone to make updates to the website and all that kind of stuff,
yep.
Oh, God, I couldn't even imagine. It would just take forever to get all the tweaks I want to really refine things and test things. Like, you'd be sitting there all day. A year would go by, and you'd get half the work done that you would have wished to have gotten done in, you know, 6 months, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I guess, you know, as we come to the end of this, I want to just talk a little bit more about your website, do you have a vision for, you talked about it a little bit, of what you're trying to do and what you want to see happen. Is there a 5-year plan or vision of where you want to see this grow to and expand? Is there anything that you're trying to, I guess, explore later as you evolve?
Yeah, you know, there's definitely things that I can't do right now that I'd like to do in the future. I'd like to do something similar to what the Shark Tank is doing, in that people have this opportunity to get help from other experts, but I want to do it more in a guided way where maybe we can have sponsors or other people that are really good at certain aspects of the product lifecycle, such as marketing or sales or prototyping, offer some of their services for free, and then we kind of live build this, help this entrepreneur, small business owner lift this product up from idea to store shelf.
Yeah.
Or, you know, have a hub there for people that at least get the starting point and learn the skills that they need and connect with other small business owners. And that's kind of what I've started already, is, you know, interviewing people that have done it, that have only put in $2,000 to $5,000, and they're already making products that are selling, and they might have 1 to 5 employees already. So it's really not about the technology, even though the technology really helps you get there. It's just about, you know, making a decision and going forward with it.
Right. And before we wrap up, I'm just curious what you've been doing for your current site to get attention from people, build awareness. Do you feel like you've locked into the right audience at this point? And if so, how'd you do that? And then, you know, how are you been get, what's would have been your successful marketing channels to build awareness?
Yeah, that's been really challenging for me, especially since I recently pivoted over to small business owners. You know, the B2B side of it isn't as effective on Facebook. It's certainly more effective on LinkedIn. Until recently, I was working for my corporate job, so it'd been a bit awkward to advertise on LinkedIn, just because the current boss wouldn't appreciate it.
Right, exactly.
And so I was kind of limited to just using Twitter and interacting with other small business owners on sites like Reddit and basically other forums where people like that hang out and ask questions. I think the podcast that I host has been super effective for me. It's enabled me to be featured by Inc., you know, as one of the top 10 podcasts for designers and innovators. So that was
pull that off.
You know, I got really lucky. I have to say, podcasting is difficult, not in the technical sense, but in you're creating a product in a vacuum. As much as I'm a fan of getting feedback from people, you just don't get that feedback. You might get a message for every 100 downloads. You might get you might get one email, and that might be just my my metric. But so that wasn't really as effective to get the feedback. But at least I was putting content out there, and I try to improve on it every single episode. And so I've been doing it for 6 months now, and I was just recently featured by Inc., and it was one of those surreal moments where you're thinking like, wow, this is really cool. I didn't even know other people listened to this.
So that just, now they did that selectively, or did you pitch them?
No, not at all. It was just somebody that wrote an article that did kind of one of those top 10 lists.
Oh, you got included.
Well, and I got included, and you know, it wasn't necessarily a feature just on my site, but it was enough to definitely push traffic my way and help other people see the site. And that's really all it is. For me, that's what I distill marketing down to right now at this point. I'm not trying to convert people into buyers. I'm not trying to sell anything at this point. I'm just trying to spread awareness of the site as far as I can so that I can have those conversations with people, you know, later to say, okay, here's what I want to niche down to.
Yeah. And did you find an impact or flux of traffic because of the Inc. Recognition?
You know, I did. And in terms of overall traffic, I would say maybe it makes up 15% of the traffic going to the site. So it's not anything, you know, huge, maybe 10%.
Yeah.
But I will say some of the old school tactics work for me. The 2000, like 5-4 tactics, like commenting on forums and blogs.
Yep.
And providing tons of value and then having a link after that.
Right.
There's certainly some sites that have high traffic. You know, I chose these because of how much traffic they get, and I will comment in the comment section for them. And some of them have disabled comments for this reason. I've seen some of my comments like disappear and a lot of my traffic go away. But what that's helped me do is to build up some of that SEO. So now SEO and search engine traffic is probably 50% of my overall traffic.
Yeah, very cool. Well, listen, we're at the end of our time, so I want to be respectful of that for you. And, you know, I just want to give you an opportunity to let people know where they can reach you, you know, how they can connect with your information and all that good stuff. So if you want to give yourself a shout out, that would be great.
Yeah, awesome. So please just check out theproductstartup.com. So that's theproductstartup.com. And from there, you can link to the podcast that's on iTunes under the same name and click on the Ask Philip button if you've got any questions for me.
Awesome. Well, hey, Philip, I appreciate it. This is a very interesting conversation. I love that we got to talk about physical product development. It's very cool. And I appreciate your time. So you know how to reach us if you need anything. And until next time.
Great. Thanks, Adam, for having me on.
All right, man. Have a good one.
That's all for this episode. Your next step is to join the Change Creator Revolution by downloading our interactive digital magazine app for premium content, exclusive interviews, and more ways to stay on top of your game. Available now on iTunes and Google Play, or visit changecreatormag.com. We'll see you next time where money and meaning intersect, right here at the Change Creator Podcast.